Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans. Welcome to episode 192 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler, back after a couple weeks off. Usually get a little bit of the crud after Rugby Town 7's last 2 weeks were no different. Hit me pretty hard, but I'm back, feeling good. I've got a good show for everybody today, so let's jump in. Go ahead and start talking about the Rugby Town 7's recap and the breakdown. The 2023 Rugby Town Sevens is in the books, as you're probably well aware by now, ended a couple weeks ago, and I think it was probably the most competitive version of the tournament that has ever been played. And it was really fun to be a part of. It was fun to watch. A lot of good games everywhere you looked. There really wasn't like a true weakest link in this one, I felt like. I felt like everybody was pretty competitive. And in years past, there's always been a couple of teams that really don't pull their weight. So it was fun to watch. I'll go ahead and give you kind of the breakdown of who won what. So USA U23s defeated NAV 7s in the cup final. First time USA rugby entered team has won since 2014, I believe. And that was the USA Falcons team that had Perry Baker, Madison Hughes. So good to see them bounce back and win it, especially after last year losing in the cup final to the Ramblin' Jesters. So you could tell they've been building, they've been getting a lot better and finally finished the job, which is cool to see. Ramblin' Jesters in the third place match defeated Tsunami Barbarians and the plate final. So Cal Griffins defeated Tel Aviv Heat in the bowl final. Wild Dogs defeated Speranza 22 and in the plate final, Team Germany defeated Gorilla Rugby. So kind of some weird weather. It was really rainy on the Friday and it ended with some rain on Sunday, but it was great. We'll have more on the tournament a little bit later on, too, so keep listening for that. Change gears here, talk about USA Rugby and Line Latu, of course. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, this is the Line Latu portion of the show, it seems. But Line is in Salt Lake City with the Eagles as they get ready to take on Stade Toulousain from France. And I hope Line gets to make his Eagles debut this week. I'm going to have it on watching it while I get some college football rolling, too. So something to keep your eye on. That will be what's a good transition. All the rugby you could watch this weekend because USA Rugby will be taking on Stade Toulousain on Saturday, 7 p.m. Mountain Time. You can catch that on the Rugby Network. And of course, we got Rugby World Cup going on. We're entering the second week of that. So you can catch New Zealand and Namibia tomorrow at 1 p.m. Mountain Time. That's Friday. On Saturday at 7 a.m., you catch Samoa taking on Chile. On Saturday at 9:45 a.m., catch Wales taking on Portugal. On Saturday at 1 p.m., you can catch Ireland taking on Tonga. On Sunday at 7 a.m., we got South Africa taking on Romania. On Sunday at 9:45 a.m., this is an interesting one. You got Australia and Fiji. And then to round out the weekend, you got England taking on Japan, which could be a good one as well. That's on Sunday at 1 p.m. So you can watch the entire tournament on Peacock. We've been watching it around here. It's been really interesting, entertaining so far. So looking forward to see how it continues to shake out as we keep it moving. That does it for all the rugby you can watch this weekend. Let's go ahead and jump into the interview portion of the show. The interview is brought to you by the United States Coast Guard. In the U.S. Coast Guard, you'll get benefits like health care, paid time off, and a competitive salary, tuition assistance, and more. To learn more, contact your local recruiter or apply now at gocoastguard.com. This is an interview with Ethan Pugnet. It's a good one. It's great catching up with a friend of the program. Ethan's been on a couple of times now. He's been on the USA U23 staff for the last 6 years and coming off their first Rugby Town Sevens Cup title. I thought, you know, there'd be no better of a time to have him on. Chat a little bit about Rugby Town, work he's been doing with USA U23s, and then he, of course, runs Rebel Rugby Academy, which has a hub here in Denver and in Iowa as well. On top of that, doing a lot of stuff with Premier Rugby Sevens. I was assistant coach for the New York Locals this last year and had his hands in the first season as well. So interesting guy, has his thumb on the beat of sevens here in the United States. It was a really good chat with him. So with that introduction, let's go ahead and kick it to my conversation with USA U23 analyst Ethan Pugnet. All right, please welcome back to the show, Ethan Pugnet, 2023 Rugby Town Sevens Cup champion. Ethan, how's it going, man?
Yeah, good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Rugby Town always kicks my ass a little bit, so caught the crud last couple of weeks, but I feel a lot better now, and I'm ready to get into the episode. So I know I kept you waiting a little bit long. It wasn't my intention, but I had to get a little rest.
Yeah, all good there. I mean, those rugby weeks, they're pretty exhausting, you know, regardless of what side of the ball you're on. So, you know, it's always nice to sometimes disconnect and then kind of review before you have, you know, some of the constructive talks afterwards.
Definitely. And you know full well, you had a busy summer. Just kind of wonder if you could take me through your summer before we jump into some Rugby Town stuff.
Yeah, sure. So, definitely a busy summer, probably the busiest that I've had. So, you know, it was nice to come out with a couple wins to, you know, show some credit for it. So, you know, back in May, you know, kind of to start that summer, you know, we were finishing off the Regis season. So, you know, the Regis Jesuit Raiders, we won the state championship here in Colorado over East. Ended up finishing 7th overall at High School Nationals in Elkhart, Indiana. And then from there, it was really, about a 10-day gap until we took the Rebels down to – you know, the Bloodfest Sevens. So, you know, we took four teams down there. Two of those were, development teams that we're working with, around the country and in Iowa, which was awesome. So, you know, three of those four teams played in the elite division and finished first, second, and third. So that was, you know, successful. And, they did well in Salt Lake as well, which was, about a month after that. And, you know, in between those two had two legs of the PR7. So, it was a busy summer capped off at Rugby Town.
Yeah, no kidding. That is a busy summer. Speaking of Rugby Town, working with the USA U23s as an analyst, how many years have you been involved helping out the U23s now?
Let's see. I think my first year with them was 2017, with Steve Lewis and Josh Macy. I was lucky to, you know, kind of survive to the second coaching staff with the guys I'm with now. So, it's been 6 or 7 years now.
Yeah, geez, that seems way longer. I mean, time's flying. So that's just kind of how it goes, I guess. But how close have you been to winning? I know you've been involved in Rugby Town Sevens for quite a while now. I've knocked on the door a couple times, including last year in 2022, lost in the final. So how many times, you know, have you been in the mix?
Yeah, so prior to this year had been in the finals, you know, four times, twice with the USA crew, and then twice when I was with Glendale. One for four in that. So it was finally nice to cap off a win, and it was funny. Some of the guys after, you know, Chevy and Oren Bitzer, you know, they came up after and, you know, we're kind of celebrating the fact that, you know, this coaching staff finally got one.
Mm-hmm. How good did it feel like to get across the finish line?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. Right. You know, this crew's been putting in an insane body of work over, the last several years. Right. And, you know, my first interaction with some of these guys was in 2018 down in Chula Vista, and, you know, luckily got to coach a bunch of them again the following year in 2019 for high school Can-Ams. And then just to see them kind of progress through and, you know, achieve the goals that they have and, you know, just watch the, you know, maturity and development, you know, over the last couple of years was awesome to see. And just, you know, the joy on their faces when they won was, second to none.
Definitely. And this year it seemed like throughout the entire tournament, USA U23 is head and shoulders the best team on the field. Last year, I feel like it kind of took a little bit of people by surprise, maybe, how hot they played. And this year just was, you know, from start to finish, I think easy favorites, which is saying a lot because I feel like, you know, in terms of the Rugby Town Sevens, this was one of the stronger years across the board. There was really no, you know, weak links. I feel like everyone had their own unique skill sets and challenges and, you know, interesting facts about their team that they brought to the table. So for USA U23s to go through this tournament and win it, I think says a lot. And this era of, you know, young Sevens players is super interesting to me. I feel like there's a lot to be excited about, you know, as they continue to move through the ranks.
Yeah, definitely right. It's you know, the tournament this year was awesome. You know, a lot of heavy hitters with a lot of different teams, right? There's the international talent and, you know, Eagles and past Eagles littered, you know, across all the rosters. So, like you said, no easy games, but, you know, that's why we're all there, is to have that kind of competition. And it's sweet having it at home too.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we've already talked about you being on the staff for a while now. So to win back-to-back coaches of the tournament in these last two seasons, that's got to feel nice for you to have seen, you know, a bunch of different points of you know, this team to find, you know, to win back-to-back coaches of the tournament. That's got to feel good, right?
Yeah, it's been awesome, right? You know, and we definitely appreciate, you know, the recognition into the work that's, you know, gone into this project. So, we love to see that, and it's good. And yeah, it definitely helps make it worthwhile.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you brought up the Rebels already. I wanted to ask you a little bit about that also. So you mentioned a couple of the tournaments, but just kind of on the Rebel side of things, how did it go? And kind of what's on the horizon for you as you move into 2024?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, for the Rebels over the last 3 years, we've come one tournament short of the Triple Crown every year, whether it's been, you know, losing in the finals at NAI or Tropical. And, you know, that's kind of the repeat again this year. So, you know, we lost in the finals of Tropical Sevens to the eventual champions, Rantaronga from New Zealand, who are, you know, amazingly sharp side. And, you know, it's awesome for our boys to get the experience in playing them. So, you know, that's kind of a goofy one, you know, throughout the course of the year, just because it's over Easter break and availability for kids is probably about a third of the size of what it would be if it was, you know, during the summer, just with kids regular. You know, it was good there. Our open side in that tournament lost in the finals to Pioneer Sevens, you know, out of Utah, which is a very sharp outfit. So, you know, they definitely had some early season testing there. And then obviously we shift our focus over in June to the Bloodfest Sevens. So, you know, like we said, we took a whole bunch of guys down there, finished first, second, and third. And then, you know, after that event, you know, we felt, you know, confident enough to finally add that second U18 elite team. So we took four teams to Salt Lake, our U18 opens. They lost in the finals. I think six teams placed fifth or sixth. And then, you know, our second U18 elite team finished fourth. And then obviously we won it in overtime against Next Phase Rugby, which, you know, they have that college recruiting app and they did some sharp things in that tournament. So it was a good year all around for the academy, and we're growing, you know, in a sustainable rate. So, you know, what's next is, you know, we're going to continue to try to develop in the hubs that we're in. You know, obviously Denver, you know, Dallas, Des Moines have kind of been the consistent three, but looking to continue to expand in the Midwest. So hopefully getting some stuff running in Indianapolis, and then with Brad Dufek being back in Wisconsin and running that Madison United facility, you know, we'd like to get something going up there on a more regular basis.
Definitely. I feel like I've asked you about this before, but what's kind of the strategy behind, like, attacking the Midwest? Is it just because rugby is pretty coastal in this country and there's a lot of opportunities for people on both coasts, and the Midwest kind of gets overlooked a little bit? Is that kind of the thinking behind it?
You know, yeah, I definitely think so. And it's you know, the player pool that we've, you know, kind of started to absorb over the last couple of years has been, you know, in the Midwest, right? And having, you know, guys who come from the Midwest and are now back there, just, you know, their identification process is in their area, right? And you look at the amount of ground that, you know, these guys can cover, you know, as a 6-hour drive in the Midwest, you know, puts you in some pretty big cities, right? Where, you know, you look at Denver, you know, we're, you know, 10 hours from Kansas City. We're, you know, 8-9 hours from Salt Lake. So for us, it's just an area where, you know, we have people there. They're you know, doing a good job of identifying this talent. And then, you know, I think the people in the area are seeing the value on sending their kids to us for, you know, that high performance development.
Definitely. And you've been at it for a while now. So just kind of wondering, you know, who are some names we should keep our eye on? Who's doing some big things? Who are you excited about?
Yeah, definitely. So I remember last time we spoke was, it's probably about 2 years ago, but Arno Agassi was that popped up on that list, the Colorado kid. He absolutely, you know, tore it up over the last year. He's headed to Central Washington, so it'll be interesting to see how he does in college. He got his invite to try out for the U18 World School Sevens roster, so you know, obviously he's got you know, opportunity to crack it there. So you know, another couple, you know, guys, you know, Gavin Olson, who is, you know, the leading try scorer at the NAIs. He's at Iowa Central right now. Curious to see, you know, how he develops over the next couple of years. And then some of the younger guys who have been with us since, you know, they were freshmen and now seniors, you know, post COVID, you know, Finlay Mitchell, Jake Schumacher out of Charlotte, and then Zach Mahan, fly half, props for us in sevens out of Valor Christian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the real deal. So, you know, still growing and still maturing too. So I think he'll be another one to look out for in a U.S. jersey here in the next couple of years.
Very nice. Kind of piggyback off the last question I asked. Maybe it's not even a question, just a comment, but it's crazy the amount of talent in Iowa. Like when you first had said that you were, you know, starting up a hub in Iowa, kind of scratch your head a little bit because I feel like it would be the last place maybe in the country that you'd pick good rugby players out of. But the more, you know, over these last few years, I've really kind of had my eyes open to how many good players come out of Iowa.
Yeah, definitely. Right. They're big, they're strong, they're physical, you know, respectful people. So, you know, we've really enjoyed working with the Iowa guys, and yeah, I think their body of work speaks for themselves, and, you know, they're producing guys on the 15 side. And, you know, I think you'll start seeing more and just the overall development and skill within, you know, the state as far as sevens, right? It's all they play. So it translates well for them coming into our environment. And then when they go back, you know, since we have so many of them on a regular basis, you know, the overall skill level across the state has definitely gone up. You know, it's not just one or two teams competing anymore. You kind of that whole, you know, 5A that they run out there it's getting better. So, yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, how they end up here in the next 5 and 10 years, but I like what they're doing.
Definitely. Ethan, I want to ask you a couple questions about Premier Rugby Sevens before I let you go. I really do appreciate your time, so we'll squeeze in a couple more.
Yeah, definitely.
Here. Yeah, so you're coaching with the New York Locals this year, correct?
Yes, sir.
Just kind of, you know, you've been involved for the, you know, the entirety of the existence of PR Sevens, right? You've been involved all three seasons.
So I did not coach last summer. Sarah and I had our wedding.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they kind of shrunk the competition. So first year, Tui and I were with the team. And then, you know, they didn't have that team last year. And then we're technically, I guess, traded to the New York franchise and then just took over operations there.
Okay. But as, you know, this is getting bigger and getting more eyes and it's creating a lot more opportunities, I'm just kind of curious, you're very involved in Sevens as a whole. How is this competition, like, changing the way that Sevens kind of happens in this country? I don't know if that's the best question I could ask, but just kind of get your opinion on what it's doing to the Sevens game in this country.
Yeah, definitely. So it's definitely an increased, you know, competition, right? And so you look at the opportunities that these guys, you know, men's players have throughout the course of the year to, you know, have an opportunity to showcase is, you know, you kind of start off at New Year's at Free Tail Sevens, which, you know, it's kind of back and forth, right? A couple good teams, a couple teams that just want to be there for, you know, the social component. Mm-hmm. You know, have tournaments like Rugby Town, but providing a platform that's five events, you know, it just expands that player pool for, you know, the USA guys to take a look at players. And, you know, you look at our U23s roster, you know, anybody that was pro eligible played in it, and there was, you know, seven or eight guys. So, you know, the competition that they had, right, the film that they had on them, you know, just is able to showcase what they're part of. But, you know, it was a fun summer. It was good travel. You know, unfortunately we kind of came up short in, you know, that semifinal to the headliners, but, yeah, it was a blast all around. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it goes and how it develops and, you know, their vision. But if you look at the rugby on the field, you know, Owen sent out an email yesterday that had some of the statistics and, you know, majority of games came down to, you know, one score and, you know, if not on the final play. So, it's exciting, and that's what is going to help the game develop in America, right? When people watch it, and it's, you know, it's not a blowout like you're seeing in 15s, but, you know, it's back and forth and three or four lead changes. You know, that's what's awesome about it.
Yeah, it's exciting too. And I know I talked to Sean Clark back at the beginning of the summer before things really got going. And especially for a guy like Sean, who's still, you know, relatively new to the sport, it's only been playing for a couple of years. The way that he kind of described, you know, how the value that he sees in it is just it's a more opportunity to play, you know, high-level rugby that he won't get elsewhere. And for guys like that are just learning on the fly that, you know, need to just play, there's nothing else like it. So that's kind of an interesting aspect too, and he's a guy that's taking advantage of it also.
Yeah.
So,
how'd you enjoy watching it? You know, obviously.
Yeah.
Having a keen rugby eye.
Yeah, definitely. I know this is like a good example I'll give, and I'm sure this is something that you've heard before. But last summer, I was at a bachelor party during one of the weekends. I don't remember which one, but everyone's sitting around. You know how it is. Everyone's kind of licking their wounds the day after, like the first night. So we had like 12 guys in a big house. And the TV had Fubo, I think it was. And we're just kind of, you know, doing nothing, watching golf. And I was like, hey, let's throw this on. It's pretty interesting. It's like the second year of this thing. Threw it on. There was no rugby people there except me. And everybody immediately was just into it. Like, everyone's all like, oh, man, like, it's cool to, like, see guys like Lance Williams where they could watch him and be like, this guy's huge. It's crazy. He can move like this. And so it's fun to be able, you know, oh, this guy's the leading tackler for the University of Hawaii's football program. And like you said, it's exciting. It wasn't boring for them to watch. Like maybe a 15s match would be a lot of lead changes. So I really like it in that sense where, you know, sevens is just like that, where you can throw it on to anybody if they're familiar with rugby or not, and everyone's into it. And I thought that was kind of just like the perfect example of, you know, the power that this competition has and could have as it continues to progress, is I can get a group of guys that have never seen it before. And they can watch one half of it and be into it, and that's what we watch the rest of the weekend. So I like it in that sense, and it's cool that there is, as you described, like these tournaments, right, these like marquee tournaments where I know I can go to these tournaments, I can turn on these competitions, and I can watch people progress throughout the year. And I think that's kind of a unique thing too, is I can watch and say, oh, yeah, I've seen Tucker Tricky play before, and now – you know, he's playing with U23s and he's lighting it up, and I can kind of see like his growth throughout the year. I think that's kind of an interesting aspect to having this thing added to the middle of the summer also.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, Ethan, I think that's all the questions I had for you, man. Really enjoyed chatting with you. It's been too long. We need to get you on, you know, in between every 2 years. I think that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, definitely. No, it sounds good to me, man. I love talking rugby and willing to hop on whenever.
Yeah, perfect, Ethan. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Yep, awesome, man. I appreciate your time.
All right, hopefully everyone enjoyed that conversation with Ethan Pugnay. Appreciate Ethan taking some time out of his day to come chat with me for a little bit. It was fun to hear his perspective on some things in the sevens world. And he's a good guy to talk to because, like I said, he's got his hands in a lot of different pots. Let's go and jump in the required reading portion of the show now. This week, found something on The Athletic that I was interested in. It's called Why Have the U.S. and Canada Not Qualified for the Rugby World Cup? That's by Jacob Whitehead in The Athletic, of course. Interesting article. Skimmed through it earlier. It's worth a read. If you're, you know, into rugby like I am, you know a lot of this stuff, but it's still interesting to see how it's summarized, break down some of the data. A lot of good quotes in there as well. So we'll link that article in the article that houses this podcast, as well as the description of this podcast. So nice and easy to find. Scroll down, click the link. Hopefully you enjoy. Let's go and jump to the stat of the week now. Stat of the week. I wanted to share some try data from the Rugbytown Sevens weekend. In total, there were 359 total tries scored over the course of the weekend by 162 different players. Jimmy Taupo of the SoCal Griffins led all try scorers with 8 on the weekend, and 5 players were right behind him with 6 total tries. A lot of points scored. I was going to cross-reference that to the last year, so let me look right now. It's not the best radio, but we're going to go ahead and find that out. I feel like it's kind of in the same range. It's got to be pretty close. Yeah, it looks like in 2022, there was a total of, let me put the Jeopardy theme music over this. It looks like there was a total of 353 tries. So, the scoring was increased a little bit. Well, by 6 tries. Wow, that's pretty narrow. So I thought that was interesting. Last year, 2 people, Kynoa Lloyd and Michael Adlard, had 9 tries apiece. Then second, third place, there's an 8. Aaron Martin scored 8 tries. Nick Hardrick scored 7. So a little bit of a division in who was scoring them, how many they were scoring, but an increase in 6 tries this year. So pretty consistent. That's actually interesting to see. Let's go and close the show with the loop. Follow along with everything we got going on at the NVR Rugby on Twitter, at the NVR _rugby. Kind of slow time of year. Rugby winds down. We got one more event here at Infinity Park. I'm excited about that. Talk a little bit more about that as it gets a little bit closer. But keep it locked here. This is where we can have some fun and mess with some different content and really see if there's any trends in the football realm of things. And that's kind of what I like about, this time of year is looking for that stuff. So stick with us, follow along on Twitter. That kind of does it for the show. So thanks everyone for listening. Hope you had a good week. Hope you have a great weekend. Catch you all back here next Friday.